She's a business mogul.
Number one.
And wellness expert.
How can I help?
And now Chantel Ray and her amazing guests are here to guide you on your wellness journey.
Time to level up.
Welcome to the Waste Away Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to today's episode, and I'm so excited. I'm here with Judy Hollis, and we are going to talk about permanent weight loss. It's on everyone's minds, and you're in for a treat because Judy is absolutely amazing. She was obese as a child, and she had dieted her way up to 222 pounds, and then she lost it and gained it and lost it and gained it. And so I know a lot of you can really relate to her journey. So we're so excited to have you. Judy, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me. Thanks so much, Chantal.
So one of the things that I thought was such an aha moment, I've heard you say that you were in the drug addiction field and you kind of understood what people were going through with drug addiction. And then all of a sudden, something snapped and you kind of put two and two together and you're like, yeah, I'm helping all these people with a drug addiction, but I'm struggling with a food addiction. And somehow you connected the dots and were able to help yourself with the food addiction. Talk about that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that was amazing because I had already been working with heroin addicts in New York City, moved out to California, working with drug addicts, and also trying to cure my husband's alcoholism. I mean, I had great wisdom for a lot of different people, and I was treating a lot of important people, Betty Ford, Senator Talmadge, princes that were brought over from Saudi Arabia. I worked with the U.S. Navy. So, I had a lot of head knowledge about these addictions. And people would say, oh, you work so well with the addictive personality. And I said, thank you, you know? But none of us ever saw that what I was doing with food was the same. And to tell you the truth, it wasn't a beautiful aha moment on my part. I would have stayed in denial who knows how long. But I was giving a seminar for women at the local YWCA in the Port of Los Angeles. And I was asking them to do an exercise where you say 10 things you like about yourself. And this one woman got up and she said, I've just lost 30 pounds at Overeaters Anonymous. And it went ding, 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 ding. I had been taking alcoholics to AA meetings. I knew all about AA. I said, there's such a thing as Overeaters Anonymous? And here we were in the birthplace of Overeaters Anonymous, the top team in the country for treating alcoholics at the time. And we had never heard of Overeaters Anonymous. In fact, I sat in staffings and I would cry about, well, we're helping all these alcoholics. There's no help for people like me. And I remember the head shrink said, you're right. There's no help for people like you. You've always been that way. You're always going to be that way. I would just cry and cry. So long story short, these people, I went to a meeting the following Monday, and these people were saying, just like alcoholism is a disease, it's physical, emotional, and spiritual. Overeating is also a disease, and you have to treat it on all three levels, not just dieting, 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 and not even just diet and exercise, but you have to bring in the spiritual and the emotional. Mm-hmm. And that started me on a major recovery.
I want you to talk a little bit about the binge eating cycle. And one of the things I always say, for me, when I saw this cycle, it was an aha moment for me because, you know, what happens is someone feels deprived, then they have this overwhelming urge to eat, then they binge, then they feel out of control, and then they diet to regain control, and then they feel deprived again. And so one of the things for me that I had to really do, and I had a friend say this to me all the time. She's like, because I hear you say the word deprived a lot. So like anytime for me, I felt deprived, I would go into that binge cycle. And I've gotten myself out of that now because I do everything I can not to feel deprived. And I also want to eat healthy foods that still make me feel good. But, you know, if I'm craving a potato chip, I might, you know, have a sweet potato chip that's cooked in coconut oil or, you know, something that's, you know, a healthier version of that. So I want you to kind of talk about what happens to people when they feel deprived and how this kind of binge cycle can happen with people.
Well, you know, thank you. Your question is bringing up the exact reason why focusing on this as an addictive disorder is so valuable and worthwhile. Why? Because we're using the wrong sauce to heal the wrong problem. That we somehow, and this is very, very important, and people do not like hearing this, but we have to turn around that idea that food can be a source of solace, that food, just like alcohol or other drugs, can relieve our emotional state. Oh yeah, we've had a lifetime of doing that. And very often, if it's sugar, let's say, the sugar high, the going up, is about 18 minutes. 18 minutes up and then starting down into withdrawal, which takes you way below your line, your normal line. And that's why we're constantly in that yo-yo syndrome. But the thing we have to address as humans, no matter what we're using, no matter what new drug is out there, is I have to see that food has been my major punisher, not my reward. It is not my comfort. It is not my best friend. And what we say in addiction circles, no matter what the substance is, for us as the addict, my best friend has turned on me. What used to solve problems now creates the problem. And people go through the same process as in facing death, denial, anger, bargaining, depression. And then finally, oh, I guess it must be that way. If I take a, and I take people through taking that long, hard look at where has your relationship ended up for you?
Did you guys know that 97% of Americans are deficient in at least one mineral? It's true. You need more than a dozen minerals for your body to function at its best, but with the standard American diet, it's almost impossible. So here's where Beam Minerals comes in. Guess what? All you have to do, take one little shot of this one little shot of this one, and guess what? It looks like this, but it tastes like water. Take one shot, and boom, in 30 seconds a day, you're getting an entire thing of minerals instead of an entire cabinet of supplement bottles. So with Beam Minerals, we make mineral balance simple. So I want you to kind of give people an example. So one of the things that I didn't mention originally is you wrote this amazing book called Fat is a Family Affair, and really talking about that a lot of these problems that people have could be, you know, a relationship issue with their mother or, you know, a relationship issue with someone in their family. So let's give people an example of some things so that they can make it a little bit more practical. If someone had an issue with their mother, how would that relate to their addiction to just wanting to use food to cover that?
Well, first of all, I was saying my second book, Fat and Furious, was about mothers and daughters and eating. So there's a whole big second book that's just about that particular relationship. It's something we talk in psychology about the disowned self, self for others, not really having, and this is why one of my friends says, it's so difficult to grow up in public because it's really about growing up and leaving home emotionally. This is what Carl Jung referred to as individuation and separation, becoming a separate person from your parent or your programming. And what happens for women, especially, is we grow up wanting to copy our mommies. Okay? Boys say, no, I'm going to be different than mommy. But we want to grow up to be like mommy until we find out that mommy didn't know who she was either. There's so much programming from the culture that doesn't teach us about being an individual. So that I hope I'm answering your question. You'll get more specific.
Okay, so I'll give you an example of something that for my childhood. So my mom, she really prided herself on eating healthy and being thin. When she was pregnant with my sister, she was like kind of throwing up because she didn't want to get too fat. So she was struggling with bulimia a little bit. And then for us as kids, she did two things. Number one, like when we were good, she would give us like 3 M&Ms. And like, I'm not joking when I say like you were good, you get 3 M&Ms. Or she'd say we can go to TCBY yogurt. They don't really hardly have that anymore, but it's like the country's best yogurt, one of those soft serve yogurt spots. Yeah. And just like, oh, are you having a bad day? If you're having a bad day, let's go get a yogurt together, or let's go to, back then they had Roya Rogers. And so she'd say, let's go to Roya Rogers and get the salad bar. So it wasn't like I was getting like fried chicken. I could go to Roya Rogers and get a salad bar. So those are kind of the things that I just remember that I feel like has had an effect on my eating. So I'm just trying to get, I want to give people ideas like that of some of these toxic things. Like my mom didn't do it, you know, meanly. It's just, you know, obviously that was an area that, you know, I like for my son now, if he's not hungry, I never, ever try to say, if you don't eat all your food, you're not getting this. I try really hard never to do that. And to make sure he's eating only when he's comfortably full and so forth.
What a gift. What a gift you're giving to your child. You're telling him to trust his body, to listen to his body's signals, and to not use food or anything oral as comforting. I mean, food has been made tasty. We want to have people eating, but not to use it because we're having a bad day. You know, what's often said in addiction, and especially in eating, is there's nothing so bad that a binge won't make it worse. It never solves the problem, but we have been taught since early days it will solve the problem, and it's a reward. Anything sugary is a reward. If you eat all of your veggies, I'll give you ice cream. All of that has to be changed on a very deep level. And it's so great that you know that. Right?
Well, talk about, I really, it's such an important issue for me that my son is a perfectly good thin eater. I call it a thin eater because he only eats when he's hungry. If you offer him any food outside of the hunger stage, he just won't eat it. He's like, I'm not hungry right now. I'll save it for later. He only eats what he really loves. And if he doesn't love it, he just pushes it aside. But we've trained him from as a young age to love fruits and vegetables and lean proteins and really good foods as well. But I want you to talk about kind of the hunger scale of how someone knows when they're physically hungry versus their heart is hungry, and how they can get into that mode of going, I'm only eating when my stomach is hungry, not when my head is hungry or my heart is hurting.
Well, this is one reason that your relationship, you know, all of my books have been about relationships and eating. And the primary thing that's made me 48 years later, still in recovery, still with a great body, still doing this thing, is I have changed my relationship with the substance. No other addiction requires that. They just say, just don't plug the jug, go to meetings, just stop. And we have to make that new relationship that you're talking about. So it does require what you're asking about, which is supreme awareness. So that's why in the early stages, I suggest everybody get on a rigid food plan, okay? So that you can see what is usually prescribed for a normal body of my weight or the goal weight I'm going for. I'm supposed to eat this, this, and this 3 to 5 times a day, whatever the plan is. You know that those are the parameters. And anything you want to grab for on the run, in the car, no. You're first going to learn, you're going to retrain your body to only eat what's prescribed. We treat it like our medicine. Then, as you're talking about, later on, when we can feel the difference, we start noticing what hunger is. Never knew what real physical hunger was, only emotional eating, right? But, you know, I tell people, if you want to find out why you're eating, don't. The way you find out why you're eating emotionally is when you stop doing it, you will learn what your emotional triggers are. So it's training. It's your own personal training so that, like your son, today, I might eat something I didn't eat 48 years ago when I was just starting out. Let's say it's a bite of pie or whatever, chocolate, whatever. But I am trained to listen to my body and to know when a little dab will do you. And I just have a little taste here. Just like your son. Thanks. I'm no longer wanting it or craving it. Or needing it. It was just a momentary thank you very much, and you proceed down the road. This is controversial in groups like Overeaters Anonymous. There are some people who will never eat sugar again, no matter what, and they've made that vow, fine, you know. But I no longer live in fear of the food because I've developed that muscle that your son has naturally. You know, the muscle to know when I'm hungry, to know when that's enough. Oh my God, the concept of enough was never true in my early life, you know?
I don't know about you guys, but I am stressed. And if you're feeling overwhelmed this holiday season, then I get it. With all the family get-togethers, it is just a relentless source of stress. But anyway, there is something that I've got called Stress Guardian, and it's actually made by Bioptimizers, the people who make the magnesium breakthrough, which I love, love, love. But anyway, they are literally made this new product. It has 14 adaptogenic herbs, and it just regulates your stress. I just actually took some right this second, and it's awesome. If you go to stressguardian.com/wasteaway and put in wasteaway for 10% off your first order, it's stressguardian.com/wasteaway. Go there now.
Yeah. One of the things I want you to talk about is kind of a behavior modification. I think you call it like divine dine, where you teach people how to eat more mindfully and actually enjoy the food. Because almost everyone who I know that's an overeater, they really don't enjoy the food. They're really like, when they get started, it's like almost like zombie, where they just start shoveling in the food almost as fast as they can. And they're definitely not being mindful, and they're definitely not even enjoying it. They're just kind of almost like a robot and robotically, you know, shoveling that food in. Talk about that for just a minute.
Well, today in my life, I do not want to waste good food. Like you said, your son waits till it's something he wants and he likes, and he probably savors it. When I teach the divine dine, which in some circles is called mindful eating, one important thing that nearly everybody knows now is to sit down, to not be eating, running, talking. I just had a friend staying here, and she just talks through the whole meal, and it's like, almost like spitting the food out while she's shoveling it in. And that's how I was raised in my family. But it's about really loving food, paying attention. So other than the sitting down, the other thing is, guess what? No liquids during the meal. No drowning to get more in faster. And I ask people, and I take them through this training, to chew your food to liquid. And you do not swallow until you know you've gotten every morsel of flavor out of it. And then you go, That's your signal to swallow. And then, of course, then you pick up the fork again because you take a bite. Now, this is all training. You don't have to eat this way for the rest of your life. But from time to time, I will go back to having a few meals of divine dine to just retrain myself again to really enjoy my food. People say, oh, I just love food so much. I can't stop because I love food. I say, well, wait, let's see how much you really love food. And without that shoveling and drowning and trying to quell the emotions, a lot of these people don't really like food that much. They wouldn't eat the junk. They wouldn't eat the prefabricated foods, the foods that are just processed so much that there's nothing there except cardboard. And that's what most Americans are eating today. It's very hard to get people to eat real, good, natural foods.
I want you to give a few more things. I will tell you one of the things I still do not have down. I feel like I do wait until I completely fast, until I hear my stomach growl. And then I know that I'm physically hungry. I can hear my stomach growling. I know I'm physically hungry. I'm not eating for other reasons. But one of the areas I even teach people about how to eat slower. And I will tell you, that has been such a big piece for me that I have not done well. And it really causes a lot of gut problems when you're eating your food too fast and you're not chewing it to that liquefy state. Is there any other tips to get people to that place where they can actually eat slower? Because I can tell you, I have to work so hard at it. And I bet you anything, I would eat twice as fast as you. And that would be with me like working hard at eating it slow. So do you have any tips for that?
Nothing succeeds like doing it. I hate to tell you, there aren't any, you're already a brilliant woman. There are no more brilliant new ideas on this front. It's you learn in the doing. And, there's a story about a Buddhist monk was at a party in New York, and the lady said, he's wearing his brown robes and his bald head and everything. And the lady says, oh, I wanted to learn about Buddhism. Tell me about Buddhism. And he says, well, you want the long version or the short version? She said, well, it's a party. Give me the short version. So he said, okay, the short version is pay attention. She says, well, that's not enough. All right, give me the long version. He said, okay, Buddhism is the long version. Pay attention. Pay attention, pay attention. Okay, so, really what's being called for here is not just weight loss, it's not just eating mindfully. It's about living a full life where you're totally awake and present and paying attention. And you don't want to eat or have sex, which was my third book, Hot and Heavy. You don't want to do any of these things in a haphazard manner. You want to be focused. You want to know the whole panoply of what's going on. What's my body doing? What are my emotions doing? What are my senses doing? So we forget. We get rushed. We get nervous. Now we have intermittent fasting. So people are doing like you. You know, they're delaying. Most weight loss success stories say that you should eat 5 to 6 times a day, just a little bit now, 2 hours later, a little more, rather than saving up for that big meal, okay? Because your body can't even handle it. And you're so, like you said, so ravenous that you're shoveling. But these little breaks in your day to just a little bit here, it could be some of these diet chips. It could be a protein drink. It could be some nuts and an apple. All the things we already know, but we don't do. And what that then does is it keeps your furnace in your body at a more or less constant level. It's like the temperature is up to maybe 70, whatever. And then, you know, you don't have to stoke your engine in one big blast. Your engine is working for you and your body's working for you. And it can help you pay attention without being ravenously hungry.
Yeah, one of the things, well, I disagree. I think that the more times that you have to, like for me, because I did have a problem with eating, the more times I have to like stop and think about eating over and over and over again, like I'm having a small meal or having a small meal, it's just more times that I have to do that. But one of the things that I do agree with you on is that if you get yourself to the point where you're ravenously hungry, that's not good, because then, number one, then you can't eat slowly because you're just so ravenous that you just want to do this. And then the second piece is all good decision-making can get out of the way, because then you're like, when you get to the place where you're so hungry, you're like, I'll eat anything. You know, you get to that, I'm going to eat someone's arm off. And you, you know, you're just like, I'm just going to do that. So let's talk about that. No, go ahead.
Let me just say that that's why things are proposed in groups like Overeaters Anonymous, that you take the time to sit and write for 5 minutes. Just write. We call it five alive. That you just write about what you're feeling, what you're noticing, what you're breathing, to just calm it down. Like, I absolutely insist, like, we're going away on a thing where there's going to be a lot of food experiences. And I absolutely insist that I have to be in a quiet mood myself and hopefully in a quiet environment. And if I'm not, I have to get myself quiet so that I'm really going to enjoy what I'm going to eat. I love food and I love to eat, but I'm not going to waste it. I don't want to waste it.
That's so good.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've heard you say that I thought was really powerful is that you said that sometimes we're eating to cover up the parts of our personality that we're hiding from ourselves. Like, we're not trying to lie to other people. We're in our own denial. Talk about that for just a minute.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, yes. Now, I've been almost 50 years in recovery. So I've been working on this stuff an awful lot. And I'll tell you, many stages along the way, I said, well, I'm done now. I've learned everything I need to know about myself. Just last week, I was facing something that I'll tell you about if we have time. But, the answer to that. I'm sorry, I lost the question. What did you ask?
So we were talking about how we're eating to cover up the parts of our personality that we're hiding from ourselves. Like, we're not trying to lie to other people. We're in our own denial.
Right. Ah, there you go. I became a therapist so I could figure out why I was doing this to myself. And what I got were answers where I could stand in front of the fridge, and while I was shoveling in, I could explain to you why I was doing this. You know, that so-and-so hurt my feelings, or I didn't speak up when I should have over there, or I was too aggressive and I hurt that person's feelings, so I'll punish myself. I had 1,000 good reasons for why I was doing it. None of that helped me at all. It was just interesting for my memoirs. It was nice to chit-chat with my ladies' clubs, and we all said, oh, yeah, I eat because of this. Oh, yeah, I eat because of that. No, no, no. Whatever we can figure out while we're still eating is not the answer. The answers bubble up when we're not binging, when we have that raw feeling and that surrendered feeling that, hey, dude, as smart as you think you are, and you've written 5 books about all of this, maybe you don't have all the answers. That place of asking the question without immediately jump. I mean, America, especially, we're so quick on all of these slipshod, immediate answers. It must be this. It must be that. Oh, I read this article. I read this self-help book. No, it's something about coming home to self. And that's why this mother-daughter thing is so important. If we had, you know, and the Native Americans teach their daughters a lot more about listening to that still small voice within, respecting your woman's body, even if she might be a little too sensitive. Weren't she told often, you're too sensitive? But listening for the messages reverberating from you, that's much more authentic than, well, I read this last week and so says. But to hear that message, we need the clarity of the body and the calmness of a mind to pay attention. Pay attention. You know, I thought I had just explored everything I needed to know about little Judy, okay? And a few weeks, well, you know, over the last couple of years, my husband has had a lot of medical things, and I've been caretaking and blah, blah, blah. Well, now he's on the mend, and things are a lot better. And all of a sudden, I was overcome with fear. You know, the whole last 3 years, I've been so busy taking care of business. I didn't let myself feel the fear. Well, I have avoided fear my whole life. Everyone will tell you, wow, isn't she a courageous person? Look at her pioneering on the Oprah show, 30 million Americans speaking her mind. Look at her going to India, getting attacked in the jungle. Oh, look at her, how fearless she is. And I was doing all that, again, mother-daughter issue, to overcome that my mother was a scared, angry person, and I didn't want to be her. So I fashioned this other false bravado. But now I'm quite aged and quite in recovery, and I'm strong enough to face that I'm a fearful, fallible human being. And it's not going to kill me to live with my fear, like I had thought. So most of us have fashioned a personality to survive and to overcome things. So what I'm suggesting is, hey, maybe there's someone else out there. Maybe there's some new part of you to learn about and live.
Guys, I just want to interrupt for just a second, and I want you to hear Paul Saladino talk about why liver is so important. And if you don't like liver, we have another option for you.
Your ancestors were eating liver. And the reason that this sort of wisdom has been passed down is because liver is very nutritious. It's basically nature's multivitamin. If you look at the nutrients in meat, they're great. You've got zinc, you got B6, you got B12, you got some K2. But if you look at liver, it really complements what's in muscle meat. And there are many unique nutrients found in organs, specifically liver as a powerhouse of these, that are difficult to obtain outside of liver. Like meat and organs are like peanut butter and jelly. They just go together. They're supposed to be eaten together. the easiest way to eat liver is just to do it raw. If you don't want to eat liver raw, you can cook it. But the reason that I like to do it raw is because there are unique nutrients in liver that are probably somewhat degraded when you cook the liver.
This really is like the most nutrient-rich supplements that you can find. And they are amazing. I have tried them. I absolutely love them. So just go to heartandsoil.co, use the coupon code Chantal Ray, and save some money there.
Well, there, I have a friend of mine, she's a counselor, and we walk, she lives in the neighborhood close by, and we walk on a regular basis. And she said something to me one time when she was talking, she was counseling with someone, and she said, one of my favorite lines to tell people is, she says, you have to sit with unease to get rid of your disease. And it's just so good, because I think what happens is a lot of times, like, we're uneasy about something. Who knows what it is, right? We're a little uneasy, and we've trained ourselves to run to the food to get rid of that unease. And what she says is, you have to sit with that unease and be okay with being like, however you're feeling at the moment. You know, I'm feeling anxious, or I'm feeling scared, or I'm feeling fear right now. Being able to sit with that for a minute, like you said, write it down for 5 minutes. How am I feeling? What am I feeling? And then being able to say to yourself some of that self-talk that says, this food, me running to the refrigerator right now, is only going to cause more problems in my life. It's not going to bring about any of those things that I think it's going to do. Like, it's not going to calm me down. It's not a reward. It's not that. So talk someone into that self-talk. So, like, let's say someone is about to run to the refrigerator and start scarfing down a bunch of food. Walk us through that self-talk of what they should be saying to themselves so they don't make the plunge into the refrigerator.
Well, listen, most of the people who are probably listening to this are in the early stages of trying to get a handle on this thing. And I have never believed that the individual alone can do it. I was the champion of that. I became a therapist so that I could fix myself. And the tragedy or the glory here is that we have to be vulnerable with another human being who can be the strong one when we're ready to run. If we just make the call that says, help me right now, that's all we need to do. I cannot tell you how many times in the last 50 years I have called someone in the middle of a bag of trail mix, right? I'm shoveling. It doesn't taste good anymore. Oh, am I full? And I cannot stop. I want to finish the bag. Because why? Because then I'm going to swear off, right? And I can't let any of it go. But I will call this person. And this is while I'm a big shot, while I'm talking everywhere, while I'm the author and all that stuff. I call the person and she says, okay, honey, let's walk it over to the sink. Put on the water. Dump it, not in the garbage, because I'll go back, but flip the switch on the garbage disposal, and I will sit here with you while we let it go down the drain. Doesn't this sound ridiculous? Oh my God, I'm an adult, blah, blah, blah. Oh, it is, you know, and I've done this with drug addicts dropping drugs down the toilet, flush them away, although that's not so good to do, but do you know what I mean? The ritual of being stopped mid-bag and turned to another human being to help me. You get a witness. You're making a statement to yourself about your future, and someone's witnessing it. And you also realize, I don't have to do this alone. So when people ask me about some tips or how do you do this by yourself, I don't have a solution.
Yeah, being in community with someone else that can help you.
Yeah.
Really, really powerful.
And that's why in Overeaters Anonymous, they have someone called a sponsor. And that person will be your guide to help you. But if no one's available, you're out of the country, whatever it is, write about it. At least that is you not being alone in your own head, figuring it out. Don't figure it out. Just proceed down the road. Just proceed. And later on, you might go back and read that and figure something out, but not in that moment of fire. We can't. We're powerless.
Yeah. Talk about, you know, a lot of people, they say, you know, they eat to celebrate, they eat to mourn, they eat. It doesn't matter if they're stressed, if they're this, like, it's not like, oh, I only eat when I want to celebrate. Most of the people that have a problem, they're eating to celebrate when they're sad, when they're anxious. It's any reason. So talk about where you're seeing a lot of people for them to be able to go back to their childhood. Like for me, I remember when my mom said when I came home from school, if I had a bad day, her first reaction was, let's go to TCBY or let's go to this place or let's go to Roy Rogers, all of those things. So when I was young, it kind of taught me if I had a bad day or if I had a great day, if I needed to celebrate, that was the reward was the food or it was the Band-Aid. It was either the reward or it was the Band-Aid. So talk about mentally what someone needs to do if they're feeling that way. Like if they're, you know, if you were a friend, let's say you were my accountability partner, say, and I called you and I said, oh my gosh, I just had such a bad day. My staff is driving me crazy. We just, you know, had to hire more people and they're not catching on and who knows. And what I want to do right now is I want to run to the refrigerator. I want to eat a bunch of brownies and a whole bunch of chips. What are you going to say to me to kind of be my accountability partner and talk me off the cliff?
Well, in AA, they say, see the drink through to the next morning. So you're talking about you want some immediate relief. You see, we want to take in the substance at any heightened awareness state, whether it's euphoria or depression, we want to just go. We don't like the ups and the downs, any awareness. So AA would say, okay, you're looking for an immediate solution, but let's see it through to the next morning. How has this served you in the past? How do you feel after a binge? How do you feel when your dress doesn't fit? And with overeaters, we have a terrible thing about impatience. I want to jump on the scale every half hour and be rewarded for my whatever, you know? And instead, it takes so much time to lose a pound. And the older you get, it takes even more time. So you have to stop going for the immediate gratification and think about the long-range results. And the thing of answering. So many people say to me, oh, thanks for answering the phone. I guess people look, and if they say, I don't want to talk to that one, you know, then they don't answer. But just answering the phone and listening to a person at that moment is so tremendously healing. It gives a there. I hear you. I just took a trip through the Mississippi, and everybody there says, we got you. We got you. It's such a lovely feeling of like there's a mattress there. You can fall back. You can stop the fight. You can relax. And that's what we need. We need the comfort of a fellow person, not substance. I always tell people, what I'm trying to teach you here is not an adjustment model. You're not going to become adjusted in this culture. You're going to be a freak in this culture. A person who says, oh, excuse me, I want to take 5 minutes to write something. I'll be right back to you, or whatever it is. People think we're weird. Oh, you want to have it more quiet before you're eating? You'd like someone to turn off the boxing match on the television while you're eating? Weird, right? But so be it. You know, look at behind me, the little sign I have, enjoy the journey. In the AA Big Book, everything is recommended, everything except for one line. And that line is, we absolutely insist on enjoying life. So I was given this one little life here. How am I going to spend my time? In regret about what I ate last night? Oh God, I shouldn't have done it. No, you ate it, boom. Next, jump back on the horse and next. Not one moment of regret.
Did you guys know that your thyroid's main food is iodine? And guess what? Mercury and other toxins gobble up your selenium, and your thyroid glands need selenium to convert iodine to thyroxine. So if you have mercury fillings and with all the toxins and mold, your selenium just gets gobbled up. So here's the bottom line. I take something called Peak Thyroid. It's got iodine, it's got copper, and it's got selenium. Everything you need to get your thyroid back to functioning without medicine. So go to ChantelRayWay.com/upgraded formulas. Use the coupon code ChantelRay to get a huge discount.
I love it. Well, we are almost out of time. I want you to end with one last thing, and I'll explain. So I've written a couple books, and they've all been about people who are thin eaters. So I actually interviewed over 1,000 women. And all I did are people who were thin their whole life. They never went on diets. And I really kind of found out and spent time with them so I could see what their mindset was and learn from them. And I'm going to give you one story, and then I'd like you to give any little tips kind of like this. So I have a friend named Christy. She's very thin. And we used to have this party every time, you know, she lives on the water, and we had this big party with like 20 girls. And we'd go there, and I always brought guacamole. And, she, you know, I'd bring it with like sliced cucumbers, and she loved it. But I would come over around, you know, 2 o'clock or so. And as soon as she'd come, she would take the guacamole and she'd be like, oh, guacamole, my favorite. She's like, I'm not hungry right now, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to take some of this guacamole because I don't want anyone else to, you know, I don't want it to be completely gone, because when I bring it, it would be gone like that. So she took a scoopful, put it in a little container, put it in the fridge. And then like 2 hours later, when she was physically hungry, she then ate it. And so that's kind of a tip that I talk about in my book, is like she just naturally does that, because if she's not physically hungry, she's not going to put a bite of food in her mouth. But she also didn't want to miss out on the guacamole, so she put it in the fridge, put it aside so that she could have it for later. Anything like that that you could share with the listeners, of any tips that you've seen for people that have kind of transformed into this more mindful way of eating, or a thin eater where they would eat only when they were hungry, that they could kind of glean from?
Sure. So much of this has been in a lot of women's magazines for decades now. But things like, you know, if I go out to a dinner in a restaurant, I immediately apportion half of it I'm taking home. You know, protein is about the size of the palm of your hand. So I'm going to cut that in half, and I'm going to put that in a doggy bag to have for lunch or dinner the next day. I might eat all the vegetables, because that I really think is a good idea. But, you know, all of those kind of things is like what we're talking about, waiting until you can really enjoy it. But also, like, she's so smart. I don't want to be in the fear of watching everybody guzzle my guacamole, right? So I'm gonna take my portion. Thank you very much. But I'm not going to have to eat when everyone else is eating it. Brilliant, right? Yeah. But what does that do? It makes her a freak in the culture because everybody says, come on, we're all eating now. You eat now. So you see, it's like, can you stand the discomfort of being authentic? And it's not just about how you eat. It's also about how you express yourself and how you walk through the planet. There's so much to learn here. You know, I've got to get your books and hear more of your podcast.
I'm going to send them to you. I'll send you a couple of copies because I'd love for you to read them. And I'm sure you'll enjoy them. And I want you to tell listeners about how they can get copies of your different books and where they can find you and where they can follow you so that they can learn more about you.
Well, thank you. It's just my name, judyhollis.com, JudyHollis.com. That's my website. You can find many, many free things that I've already done there. I'm taking a break to move into another aspect. So it'll be a couple months till I have new stuff up there. Also, all my books are on Amazon, and I'm looking into now making the three that I can, that I have the rights to, I'm going to make into Audible books.
You should, because everyone's into audiobooks now.
Sure. So that's going to happen this year. There's my email right underneath my name, judyhollis@aol.com. You can email me and we can go back and forth and make a date to talk. I no longer see patients and charge money, but I'm always open to answering any question anybody has for fun and for free. And, stay in touch.
Well, you have just done such an incredible job of really helping people to get rid of their excuses, get rid of their avoidances, get rid of all the things, and really focus on just getting a right relationship with food. And so I just want to thank you on behalf of everyone. Just, you're making a huge impact on so many people. And so I just really appreciate you, appreciate your friendship. And you guys stay tuned. We've got another episode coming up in just a few. Bye-bye for now.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to today's podcast. If you enjoy the podcast, it would mean the world to us for you to leave a review on iTunes to get this podcast out to others that may have the same questions that you do. And as always, if you have a question that you want answered, email those to questions@chantelrayway.com. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.